Well, it was lovely to walk in this morning and see all the plants in the foyer. For those who know me, you know I'm a bit of a plant nut. So it was really nice and very welcoming just to walk in and see all the green there. Thank you to whoever did that and brought those plants in and just made it look so welcoming and fresh this morning. Mother's Day. Well, I wonder what this particular day might mean for us here and now this morning. The tradition of Mother's Day is something that's been celebrated for a long time, although in a somewhat different format to what we know today. This morning we're going to have a look at the history of Mother's Day. I'm going to share a little bit of my own experience, and then we're going to look at some biblical input about Mother's Day as well. And as we think about the role of mothering and Mother's Day, I want to say at the very outset that in no way does mothering and Mother's Day diminish the significance of fathering and Father's Day. Parenting is not an easy job, and it helps when there are more than one, when there is more than one person in that role. So fathers, please don't feel like we're not seeing you as significant today, because you are. I also want to acknowledge that for some people, thoughts of a mother may not be positive and could actually be quite painful. Maybe through grief and loss and losing a mother fairly recently, a loved mother, someone who was special. Or it could be through disease that causes a mother to not really know us anymore. And that is quite a distressing situation when the relationship changes so much that a mother doesn't know her child. Or it might be that you have never experienced a positive mother caring child situation. And it might also be that for whatever reason, you haven't been able to be a Mother's Day. So Mother's Day might be hard for you too. If it is a difficult day today, I trust you will feel surrounded by the love of God and the presence of friends and those who understand your situation. Now let's look at some of the history of Mothering Sunday. It began explicitly as a religious event in the 16th century, so it goes back a way. But it didn't have any connection to mothers at all at that time. The word mothering actually referred to the mother church, the church that you came from, the main church or cathedral that was in the region. It became a tradition on the fourth Sunday of Lent that people would return to their mother church for a special service. This pilgrimage was commonly known as going a mothering, an interesting term. And it became something of a holiday event when servants were given the day off and they could go back to visit their mother church and also families who may have been in the region where they had grown up. Mothering Sunday was a holiday celebrated by Christians in the United Kingdom, Ireland, and some of the other Anglo-Saxon countries. It was generally observed in the parishes of the Catholic Church, the Church of England, and many Anglican parishes throughout the world, including Canada and Australia. Mothering Sunday, as it was known previously, eventually fell out of fashion at the dawn of the 20th century. Years later, the fading festival was restored to the culture of the UK, only with much more of a focus, particularly celebrating motherhood. And this was due in part to the American influence. The name Mother's Day properly belongs to the American secular holiday, which was quite distinct from the original Mothering Sunday. In 1914, going back a ways, the American president of that time, President Woodrow Wilson, officially signed Mother's Day into existence. And once observed as a day when people visited their mother church, it has become an occasion or honouring mothers by sending a card, visiting, giving them presents, giving flowers, all that sort of thing. However, over time it has become much more commercialised, as I'm sure you are aware. All the catalogues that get put in your letterbox and the things on the TV remind us that Mother's Day is coming, and quick, we better go and buy something. One of the tastiest traditions of Mothering Sunday was the baking of what was called a simnel cake. It was a light fruit cake that had almond and marzipan icing. It was mostly regarded as purely Easter related, but because of the austerity of Lent, when people went without a lot of different foods that they liked, the rich fruit cake was tied to Mothering Sunday because it was the fourth Sunday of Lent, when people needed a bit of indulgence after the general austerity of Lent. And it was also a nice baked present that people could take home to their mothers. Perhaps for some of us today, Mother's Day might still mean the baking of a cake to share. And although the reason for Mother's Day has changed somewhat throughout the centuries, as it's much less of a religious tradition now as it was way back then, the feelings of goodwill around Mother's Day haven't changed. And I guess a number of us can recall, and I think I actually saw one this morning, a white chrysanthemum. We used to put one in our buttonhole and wear it to church on Mother's Day. It was something that was a tradition, signified the honouring of our mothers. And it's very interesting to note that even that's an old tradition, florists are still using white chrysanthemums in their Mother's Day arrangements today. Ian and I were in Albury last week, and I was a bit surprised to see Mother's Day arrangements already made up. That was, 10 days or something, not quite, before Mother's Day. I thought, it's interesting to note. What a big deal Mother's Day in the florist industry. It's the biggest day of the year. Flowers have to be grown, cut, prepared and delivered just in time for the day. I worked in the florist trade for a while years ago. Man, was it a busy day. From the time the shop door opened, you were flat out making arrangements. We ran out of flowers during the afternoon, and the boss had to go and get some more flowers so I could keep on making up arrangements. I was exhausted by the end of the day, believe me. But everybody seemed to go home happy with the flowers that they wanted, which was good. As we reflect on the meaning of Mother's Day, we notice that the Bible, surprisingly, has things to say about most of life situations, but it speaks about mother love. We've just heard from the readings that Marg read to us so beautifully before that they speak of the mother heart of God. And although written a long time ago, these passages can still provide encouragement for us today. In earlier years, when we were first married and I was waiting for our kids to come along, that seemed to take a little while, I found comfort in reading Psalm 113, verse 9. There's a promise there that says God settles the childless woman in her home as the happy mother of children. We were then blessed with the subsequent arrival of 4 precious offspring. Although Nathan, our firstborn, really did give us a few early grey hairs, he was born with a blocked lobe in his lung and was blue all down one side of his body. He was transferred to the Adelaide Children's Hospital because we were living in Victor Harbour at the time where we were going to attending Bible College. And I so clearly can still see it today that as he was wheeled away from me in the crib by 2 medicos either side of him, all blue, I wondered if I would ever see this child again. I'd never held him in my arms. It was a frightening time, a time when I felt really alone because other mothers had their babies with them and I was there in the hospital all by myself. And boy, did I wish for the presence of my mother. She was here in Victoria. Fortunately, Nathan recovered and he's now a 45-year-old robust man, I'm glad to say. But it must have been quite a humorous sight when he was well enough to come home and Ian went with our flatmate to collect him from the Adelaide Hospital. As they walked out of the hospital, they got a few looks because Glenda was actually a good 8 months pregnant with her own baby and here she was carrying Nathan. They brought him back to me at Victor Harbour, and I had to learn how to be a mother. Earlier this week, I was looking on the internet and doing some preparation and thinking about motherhood. And I also wondered about asking our family about my mothering role. And then I thought, maybe not. I might get more than I asked for. But I did hear some thoughts expressed by mothers. And I was touched by the depth of emotion that these women shared about their mothering experience. This is what they said. Mothering means being a positive role model. It's just warmth that washes over you. It's quality time and being flexible. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Their heart takes over yours. It's almost like a rhythm that you can never forget. I was moved by those words and I found them really insightful. My own experience in the early years of Mother's Day was occasionally breakfast in bed with semi-warm toast and usually lukewarm cup of tea. Nevertheless, the cuddles and the love made up for the lack in the culinary field. As with many others, my love for our kids has been challenged along the way. Nevertheless, it is a deep connection that is there, almost like a rhythm that you can never forget. And it does help you, mothers, let me reassure you, it does help you through those teenage years when you feel like tearing out your hair because you don't know what to do next with these kids who are pushing the boundaries. But regardless of how old they are or what is happening in their lives, the depth of feeling for them remains. It does get challenged, but it seems to remain. When I was expecting our second child, Jeremy, I wondered if I would have the same capacity to love him as much as I loved Nathan, our first son. And other mothers with whom I'd spoken said they also had wondered the same thing, but experienced that overwhelming joy and warmth that the birth of a child brings. And we've seen that this week, really clearly represented on the TV, haven't we? As we've watched Prince Harry and Meghan trying to find the words to express their joy and their emotion at the birth and the arrival of their beautiful little son, Archie. And I think that capacity to love like that, that unlimited ability to feel the love for another human being, is actually a God-given gift. It just comes to us. It's something very special. For some of us, today might mean giving thanks for a loving mother. My own mother cared very deeply and gave generously of herself, and in so doing provided stability in our home. She was the centre and the warmth, a wonderful example of faith and courage, even though she struggled with life. In one particular year, she endured the loss of a son through war, the death of her own mother, and the death of her mother-in-law. She also fought a bushfire alongside Dad, saving the cattle and the family home, and then endured years of financial hardship and familial heartache. Following those nightmare times, she suffered with cancer, battling on for 9 years, but even leaving the Royal Melbourne Hospital when she was an inpatient, and travelling out to visit me in a suburban hospital in her dressing gown when I had just given birth to one of our daughters. She underwent a lot of surgery, very harsh chemotherapy, numerous blood transfusions, but graciously accepted the end of her life. She became a warm, hospitable woman of strong faith, who in the midst of heartache learnt to trust God fully and became an example to many. Parenting's not always an easy job, especially when faced with the constant demands of little children, or when you're wrestling with the wisdom to know how to respond to a challenging teenager. And I've heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And I think it's pretty true. Parenting is the job, the biggest job of your life, really. And you need people around you to support you, to help you, and to have input into that child's life. It's a full-time job in many ways, often without respite, but it's also a privilege to train and shape the lives of young people entrusted to us. I will be forever thankful for my own mother and for the gift of motherhood. The book of Isaiah, as we've heard this morning, gives us understanding regarding the mother heart of God. And although we mostly hear God referred to in the male gender, when we stop and think that us girls are made in the image of God, our capacity to be mothers and to feel the things that we feel and be the women we are does come from God. We are made in his image. And although that this morning that we might feel alone or forgotten, we are assured that we are remembered by God. That passage told us, can a mother forget the baby who feeds at her breast? Can she not have compassion on the child that she has born? And though she might forget, I, God, will never forget you. What wonderful words for us this morning for all of us to take to heart. So encouraging to know that we are not forgotten by God. We might be forgotten by our mothers, or our mothers might not be present anymore. But God's love remains when human love may be absent. And not only does God's love remain, but we can also find comfort in that love. Once again, Isaiah tells us, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You know what it's like when you hold a little one in your arms, when they're upset, when they're tearful, when they've been hurt, or something has worried them. You immediately have that heart response of care. You want to reassure them. You want to hold them. You want them to know that they're safe. You want them to know that it will be all right. That's what God does for us. God can hold us in those times. It's reassuring when we're brokenhearted, feeling alone, or just needing to know that someone else cares about us. God's presence can bring us solace and warmth when life is difficult. He will comfort us when we focus our thoughts on the promises that we've read in Scripture, and when we can just stay in that moment, pondering, thinking, reflecting on those words, holding them tight within our hearts and our minds. And the other thing to note is that we can have that connection with God through Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is called our high priest, and a high priest is the one who is the intermediary, the one between the people and God. He is the one who will speak to the people of God. He speaks to God about the people. That's his role, to be the one who is in the middle, as it were, to be an intermediary. And that is Jesus' role in the presence of God for us. He's the one who stands between us and God. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew wording of God is called Yahweh. It's probably not how it's pronounced. It's Y-A-H-W-E-H. And in the traditional spelling, it has no vowels. But it speaks of God and came to be regarded by the Jews as a word too sacred to even be spoken. That awesome fact of who God is. God is so great. God is so good. God is so... those big words that we're not always sure what they mean, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful, always with us. That is who God is. And Jesus is the one who understands our human condition because he's lived on earth and knows what it's like. He is the one who will go to the Father, be with the Father on our behalf and represent us. And God is an awesome God. the one who is a gracious, loving presence in our lives, the one who brings us solace, the one who guides us, and the one who is ever present with us. And it's interesting to note in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, the role of significance that Jesus placed on motherhood, because in the last moments of his earthly being, he understood his mother's need. When he was hanging on that cruel, ugly cross, struggling to speak, struggling to breathe, his thoughts turned to his mother. Even in that horrendous experience, he cared for her. That reading in John's Gospel that's in your notes today tells us that Mary, his mother, stood near his cross. And when Jesus saw her there and the disciple he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." I cannot imagine what that experience of hanging on a cross must have been like, but I find it just incredible that somebody in that excruciating situation could actually be thinking of another person and not be preoccupied with their own pain. That shows us, again, the love of God. What amazing love to take care of his mother in those moments of agony. And Jesus knew and understood the culture of the day, and that in itself is a challenge to us to understand our culture today and to be real in it, which Jesus was. But he understood the culture of the day in that a woman alone, without a male sponsor, was in a vulnerable position. So in his dying moments, he reaches out to make sure that his mother is taken care of and that she had a man to protect and provide for her. Isaiah reminds us that the Lord comforts his people and has compassion for them. Remember those words, "I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." Always present, always visible if it's engraved on the palm of your hand. So perhaps in those times when we may feel the loss of mother love, we can remind ourselves that we are of significance to God. And may we know God's comfort today if we are lonely. May we also have the grace to remember, as we move through this Mother's Day, that for some people, if not for our own experience, this day could be a day that is painful and difficult for them. However, may this Mother's Day bring us closer to God as we see the reflection of mother love in God's amazing love for each one of us. And may we be able to give thanks for that love and for the mothers who have loved and nurtured us. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come to you on this day called Mother's Day. We thank you that you do love and care for us regardless of whatever situation we are in. We thank you for your mother heart that is so warm towards each one of us, whatever our situation. Give us the strength to be present to one another in this day and help us to give thanks and be grateful for the mother love that we have experienced. Watch us as we now go. Watch over us and bless us, we pray. In your name. Amen.